Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. My name's Thomas, and I'm your host. Thanks for tuning in. I'm so grateful, as always, that you've chosen to make Get Sleepy a part of your bedtime routine tonight. The way this podcast works is very simple. Just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. We will take a moment to relax, and then I or one of my friends will read you a soothing bedtime story designed to gently grasp your attention and guide you to sleep. The more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So be sure to subscribe, and if you're listening on Spotify, then hit the follow button so you stay updated every time we release a new episode. And as well as subscribing, it would be really helpful if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. You can always give us feedback and share your ideas at getsleepy.com. Now, I hope the new year is off to a pleasant start for you, and hopefully if you've been using the podcast regularly, you might well be enjoying a better quality of sleep than that compared to last year. And if so, then long may that continue for you. We'll continue to bring you two episodes a week throughout 2020, so there's plenty more coming your way. Now, tonight's story is going to be read by Suzanne, who's making her first appearance on the podcast. I'm sure you're going to really enjoy listening to her friendly and relaxing voice and the charming story she has for you, which is a retelling of an old fairy tale all the way from Finland, in which a young boy travels the world in a pea-shell boat. Obviously, not everybody owns a pea-shell boat, but I think travelling around our planet and experiencing all the beauty and wonder that it holds is definitely one of the most enriching things that anybody can do, and it can teach us a lot about ourselves and about life in general. I've been really lucky to certainly see a lot of Europe, and even to travel all the way to the opposite side of the world over in New Zealand. These experiences have definitely inspired a lot of the stories that you'll be hearing on the podcast, not just for me, but by our other narrators and authors. And it's great to be able to think back and relive the memories of those extra special places that we discover. So before Suzanne tells you tonight's story, why not take a moment to relax first and to think of a place that made or makes you feel peaceful and calm? It can be any place that comes to mind. Not just those from travels or holidays. It might be somewhere really simple, like a local park or a cozy coffee shop. Or it might be a picturesque spot with an expansive view. But wherever it is, just close your eyes and picture yourself back there. Take a deep breath in. And slowly breathe back out. Remember how you felt calm in this place. And as you continue to breathe slowly and deeply, think about your observations when you felt calm and peaceful here. Think about the things you saw, maybe the things you heard. Maybe there was a certain smell in the air. Just allow all of those memories to let your mind relax and to let go of everything else and to put yourself back in that place of serene relaxation and calm. Now that you're beginning to relax and drift off to sleep, it's time for tonight's story. It begins in a luscious garden, blossoming with life in the warmth of summer.
There was once a little boy whose name was Lars, and because he was so little, he was called Little Lassie. He was a brave little man, for he sailed round the world in a pea shell boat. It was summertime when the pea shells grew long and green in the garden. Little Lassie crept into the pea bed, where the pea stalks rose high above his cap, and he picked 17 large shells, the longest and straightest he could find. Little Lassie thought, perhaps, that no one saw him. Then the gardener came, and he heard something rustling in the pea bed. "I think that must be a sparrow," the gardener said, but no sparrows flew out, for Little Lassie had no wings, only two small legs. "Wait, I will load my gun and shoot the sparrows," said the gardener. Then Little Lassie was frightened and crept out to the path. "Forgive me, dear gardener," he said. "I wanted to get some fine boats." "Well, I will this time," said the gardener. "But another time, Little Lassie must ask to go and look for boats in the pea bed."
"I will," answered Lassie, and he went off to the shore. He opened the shells with a pin, split them carefully in two, and broke small little bits of sticks for the rower seats. Then he took the peas, which were right in the shells, and put them in the boats for cargo. Some of the shells got broken, some remained whole, and when all were ready, Lassie had 12 boats. He had 3 liners, 3 frigates, 3 brigs, and 3 schooners. The largest liner he called Hercules, and the smallest schooner, the Flea. Little Lassie put all 12 into the water, and they floated as splendidly and proudly as any great ships over the waves of the ocean. And now the ships must sail around the world. The great island over there was Asia. That large stone, Africa. The little island, America. The small stones were Polynesia. And the shore from which the ships sailed out was Europe. The whole fleet set off and sailed far away to other parts of the world. The ships of the line steered a straight course to Asia. The frigates sailed to Africa, the brigs to America, and the schooners to Polynesia. But Little Lassie remained in Europe and threw small stones out into the great sea. Now, there was on the shore of Europe a real boat, and Little Lassie got into it. Father and mother had forbidden this, but Little Lassie forgot. He thought he should very much like to travel to some other parts of the world. "I shall row out a little way, only a very little way," he thought. The pea shell boats had traveled so far that they only looked like little specks on the ocean. he shook the rope that held the boat. Now he would row, and he could row, for he had rowed so often on the steps at home when the steps pretended to be a boat and Father's big stick an oar. But when little Lassie wanted to row, there were no oars to be found in the boat. The oars were locked up in the boathouse, and little Lassie had not noticed that the boat was empty. It is not so easy as one thinks to row to Asia without oars. What could little Lassie do now? The boat was already some distance out on the sea, and the wind which blew from the land was driving it still further out. Only a big crow perched alone in the birch tree, and the gardener's black cat sat under the birch tree, waiting to catch the crow. Neither of them troubled themselves in the least about little Lassie, who was drifting out to sea. Ah, how sorry little Lassie was, now that he had been disobedient and got into the boat, when Father and Mother had so often forbid him to do so. Now it was too late. He could not get back to land. Perhaps he would be lost out on the great sea. What should he do? When he had shouted until he was tired and no one heard him, he put his two little hands together and said to the wind, "Dear wind, do not be angry with little Lassie." And then he went to sleep. For although it was daylight, old Nakumati was sitting on the shores of the land of Nod and was fishing for little children with his long fishing rod. He heard the low words which little Lassie said to the wind, and he immediately drew the boat to himself and laid little Lassie to sleep on a bed of rose leaves. Then Nakumati said to one of the dreams, "Play with little Lassie so that he does not feel lonesome." It was a little dream boy, so little, that he was less than Lassie himself. He had blue eyes and fair hair, a red cap with a silver band, and a white coat with pearls on the collar. He came to little Lassie and said, "Would you like to sail around the world?" "Come then," said the dream boy, "and let us sail in your pea-shell boats. You shall sail in Hercules, and I shall sail in the flea." So they sailed away from the land of Nod, and in a little while, Hercules and the flea were on the shores of Asia, away at the other end of the world, where the ice sea flows through the Bering Straits into the Pacific Ocean. A long way off in the winter mist, they could see the explorer Nordenskjold with his ship Vega trying to find an opening between the ice. It was so cold the great icebergs glittered strangely, and the huge whales now lived under the ice, for they could not make a hole through with their awkward heads. All around on the dreary shore, there was snow, and snow as far as the eye could see. Little gray men in shaggy skins moved about and drove in small sleds through the snowdrifts, but the sleds were drawn by dogs. "Shall we land here?" asked the dream boy. "No," said little Lassie. "I am so afraid that the whales would swallow us up and the big dogs bite us. Let us sail instead to another part of the world." "Very well," said the dream boy, with a red cap and the silver band. "It is not far to America." And at the same moment, they were there. The sun was shining, and it was very warm. Tall palm trees grew in long rows on the shore and bore coconuts in the top branches. men galloped over the immense green prairies and shot their arrows at the buffaloes, who turned against them with their sharp horns. An enormous cobra, which had crept up the stem of a tall palm tree, threw itself onto a little llama that was grazing at the foot. "Shall we land here?" asked the dream boy. "No," said little Lassie. "I am so afraid that the buffaloes will butt us and the great serpent eat us up. Let us travel to another part of the world." "Very well," said the dream boy with a white coat. "It is only a little way to Polynesia." And then they were there. It was very warm as a hot bath in Finland. Costly spices grew on the shores: the pepper plant, the cinnamon tree, ginger, saffron, the coffee plants, and the tea plant. Beautiful people with lovely painted faces hunted a yellow spotted tiger among the high bamboos on the shore, and the tiger let out a great roar. Then all the others took to flight. "Shall we land here?" asked the dream boy. "No," said little Lassie. "Don't you see the tiger away there by the pepper plant? Let us travel to another part of the world." "We can do so," said the dream boy with the blue eyes. "We are not far from Africa." And as he said that, they were there. They anchored at the mouth of a great river where the shores were as green as the greenest velvet. A little distance from the river, an immense desert stretched away. The air was yellow. The sun shone so hot as if it would burn the earth to ashes, and the people smiled and sang. They rode across the desert on tall camels. The lions roared with thirst, and the great crocodiles with their gray lizard heads gaped out of the river. "Shall we land here?" asked the dream boy. "No," said little Lassie. "The sun might burn us, and the lions and the crocodiles would eat us for dinner. Let us travel to another part of the world." "We can travel back to Europe," said the dream boy with the fair hair. And with that, they were there. They came to a shore where it was all so cool and familiar and friendly. There stood the tall birch tree with its drooping leaves. At the top sat the old crow, and at its foot crept the gardener's black cat. Not far away was a house which little Lassie had seen before. Near the house, there was a garden, and in the garden, a pea bed with long pea shells. An old gardener with a green coat walked about and wondered if the cucumbers were ripe. Felix was barking on the steps, and when he saw little Lassie, he wagged his tail. Old Steiner was milking the cows in the farmland, and there was a very familiar lady in a check woolen shawl on her way to the bleaching green to see if the clothes were bleached. There was, too, a well-known gentleman in a yellow summer coat with a long pipe in his mouth. He was going to see if the farmers had cut the rye. A boy and a girl were running on the shore and calling out, "Little Lassie, come home for bread and butter." "Shall we land here?" asked the dream boy, and he blinked his blue eyes roguishly. "Come with me, and I shall ask Mother to give you some bread and butter and a glass of milk," said little Lassie. "Wait a little," said the dream boy. And now little Lassie saw that the kitchen door was open, and from within there was heard a low, pleasant frizzling like that which he heard when one whisks yellow batter with a wooden ladle into a hot frying pan. "Perhaps we should sail back to Polynesia now," said the happy dream boy. "No, they are frying pancakes in Europe just now," said little Lassie. And he wanted to jump ashore, but he could not. The dream boy had tied him with a chain of flowers so that he could not move. And now all the little dreams came about him. Thousands and thousands of little children, and they made a ring around him and they sang a little song. When the dreams had sung their song, they skipped away, and Nuku Mahti carried Lassie back to the boat. He lay there for a long time, quite still, and he still heard the frying pan sizzling at the home of the fire. The frizzling was very plain. Little Lassie heard it quite near him, and so he woke up and rubbed his eyes. There he lay in the boat, where he had fallen asleep. The wind had turned, and the boat had drifted out with one wind and drifted in with another, while little Lassie slept. And what Lassie thought was frizzling in a frying pan was the low murmur of the waves as they washed against the stones on the shore. But he was not altogether wrong, for the clear blue sea is like a great pan in which the sun all day makes cakes for good children. Little Lassie rubbed the sleep out of his eyes and looked around him. Everything was the same as before. The crow in the birch tree, the cat on the grass, and the pea shell fleet on the shore. Some of the ships had foundered and some had drifted back to land. Hercules had come back with its cargo from Asia. The flea had arrived from Polynesia, and the other parts of the world were just where they were before. Little Lassie did not know what to think. He had so often been in that grotto in the land of Nod and did not know what tricks dreams can play. But little Lassie did not trouble his head with such things. He gathered together his boats and walked up the shore back to the house. His brother and sister ran to meet him and called out from the distance, "Where have you been so long, Lassie? Come home and get some bread and butter." The kitchen door stood open, and inside was heard a strange frizzling. The gardener was near the gate, watering the dill and parsley, the carrots and parsnips. "Well," he said, "where has little Lassie been so long? He has forgotten Dreamland, but you have not forgotten it. You know that it exists. You know the beautiful grotto and the bright silver walls whose luster never fades, those sparkling diamonds which never grow dim, the music which never ceases its low, soft murmur through the sweet evening twilight, the airy fairy fancies of happy dreamland never grow old. They, like the glorious stars above, are always young. Perhaps you have caught a glimpse of their ethereal wings as they flew around your pillow. Perhaps you have met the same dream boy with the blue eyes and the fair hair, the one who wore the red cap with the silver band and the white coat with pearls on the collar. Perhaps he has taken you to see all the countries of the world and the people, the cold lands and the burning deserts, the many men and the wild creatures in the sea and in the woods, so that you may earn many things but come gladly home again. Yes, who knows? Perhaps you also have sailed around the world once in a pea shell boat.